grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 13.9, Six Little Necromancers, where we are covering the novel Deadbeat. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Hi.
Chapter 9. Harry and the Alphas leave the area and go to Georgia's parents' home. Georgia and Billy are concerned for Harry and worried about his recent changes in behavior. Dresden comes clean about the coin from the Fallen and that he may be under the influence of the demon Lashiel.
I do like that Georgia pulls away calm and slow and collected, okay? Don't draw any attention to yourself. Be really chill. Pulling up onto the curb before that, less chill and calm, but figure it out after.
That's okay. I can better when he's like, quick, to the Wolfmobile. Woof, woof. Wolfmobile. Right.
Just like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Billy probably could have carried me to flat out run, but we just had to cross the alley.
Georgia assumes it was a vampire attack, but was corrected that it's wizards, and then Billy's also like, yeah, he flipped a car.
Right. Oh, my God, are you okay? Yeah, I think so. He just, like, flipped a car on them.
Yeah. And this is where Harry's like, yeah, but, and I was the one losing. Like,
yeah, and I'm the one that lost. Which is funny. I mean, he was, and he did, but also...
He was just throwing it in their face last chapter, being like, you lost,
get it out. Yeah, it's like, all my backup has arrived, so now you've lost. But I totally would have otherwise. Yeah, I get that.
Harry and Cal will both know it.
Right. So Billy's like, I'm thinking wizards, like they seemed people-ish and they have like these big cloaks on. So to me, that just screams wizard, which fair.
Well, and during the fight, like that Dresden figures that it's wizards as well.
He does. So yeah. So all the other alphas run away. They'll meet up later. So they'll just take him back. And he's like, let's not go to your place. And they're like, dude, why? He's like, just trust me, just don't. Like, just, let's go.
Like, somewhere you don't frequent too often.
The walls have eyes and ears.
Right.
And possibly fangs.
Right. So, yeah, so then Billy's like, hey, I don't even know. He's like, I just showed up at the end. So, what were they? And he's like, oh, yeah, they want my book. And they're like, is it some, like, rare, like, special? He's like, ah. He's like, something about it, but.
Tell us, Harry. Just tell us. We want to help.
Right?
I don't know. I don't know enough to tell you even if I wanted to.
They're such keeners.
Mm. They are. But yeah.
Just want to do the right thing.
Come on. Quit shitting us out. We just want to help. How are we already proven ourselves? We need a whole fairy war with you. Come on.
I mean, to be fair, that was the whole shtick that got them involved in this mess in the first place. The original woman who went to them and was like, y'all want to be werewolves and help the community? And they were like, yeah, we do. We do want to help the community. That's all we've ever wanted.
Right? Well, once we found out we could turn into werewolves to do it, that's all we ever wanted.
But I just mean, you know, it's not like they, like, got cursed into werewolves. They were
yes.
being like, do you want power to be a good person? And they're like, we want power to be good people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't know that was Tara's, you know, on it. I mean, who knows what she initially had planned. Maybe she just wanted extra people to help her look for Harley. Maybe she was going to, you know, ferry them off to, like, the Pacific Northwest and, like, have a little cult going. Like, yeah, right? We don't know that she, you know, gave them to do this. This is just what they have since chosen to do with it because of...
This seems like since the moment in the warehouse when they were all in their baby leathers.
But,
we're all aiming
but
for.
Sweet that here we are, you know, like 4 years later or 5 years later or whatever, that Billy and Georgia are still an item. So yay for young Lago, I guess, you know.
Sometimes can actually work out.
So, right. As far as we know, they didn't get together in high school, but, you know, the mature age of college, they've stuck it out. But yeah, so they go to the bed and he just passes out for a while because, you know, that was apparently kind of tiring.
It's fair.
I can throw a car, but I need a nap after.
This is his first sleep of the book, okay? Like, a lot has happened.
Yeah, still, it's not even the next day from... So yeah, alrighty.
Right. And he tends to sort of pass out after heavy magic moving anyways, like we've seen it happen a few times.
Well, he always wants to, the very, but yes,
big
he
giant
does.
Thing, okay.
Yeah, his, like you say, is that does take it out of him. He...
But no, you know when you've run an errand, but then you're like, you get home and you're like, fuck, I forgot I need to stop at Walmart and I forgot, but I'm already home, I'm not going to do it. Harry's whole day was literally like, go home, get a letter, leave the house, go back home, talk to Bob,
go
house to go get a book.
Pissed off at Thomas for not. That was even worse. It was just the getting home was right there. Yeah. And then it just went downhill.
Yeah. He got home and had a fight with Thomas and got a letter. And then he had to go meet Mauver. And then he got home and he had to have a talk with Bob. And then he had to go and get a book. And now he's getting the book. And
all right. Got,
he's a busy guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So yes, this is his first nap of what is becoming a very long day.
And wakes up in a ginormous garage that can fit like 6 cars, but it's okay. There's only 2 in it. The SUV and the other one, like, fuck, right? And yeah, he goes to go in and, oh, hang on. They're talking. What are they talking about? Let me just use my nifty little gift of listening.
With the capital L.
Which I can't tell any of you how to do, sorry, but it's super easy to do. I'm sure you can all do it. Obviously, Billy has just checked in with the alphas. They're all good.
Okay, so what's up with Harry? Did you see his face? What do you mean? What's wrong with his face? I don't know. Have you been noticing that?
Yes, they have a big conversation about what they've noticed, compile their information about the events of Harry striking back the last 2 years and how he's been weirdly distant ever since the whole fight with the Fallen in the airport and all that bullshit.
Yeah, and I do like their little dynamic here. Like, I do like Billy and Georgia.
They're great.
Like, it's a combination of sort of your typical, like, male-female conversation, but also a little bit, like, right? Like, she's like, okay, we know now she's, like, a psych grad student, right? So, okay, she's going further in that. So she's got, obviously, a sense
behavior.
Of, right, she's coming from a sense of, you know, educated guesses and stuff like that, and also a little bit typical of, you know, just Billy with, like, the macho kind of, like, think with your muscles, and she's thinking with the brain, and he's a boy, and she's a girl, and all this.
There's a little bit of the dynamic that Billy is the alpha of the alphas. He's in charge, but Georgia is also in charge. They are co-in charge.
He's really the man behind the woman,
exactly.
Right? Behind, yeah, exactly. The brains behind the...
Yes, she's the man behind the woman.
I said what I said. Are you people not used to this? I said what I said. The thick pot. Like...
Yeah, I was just making sure that I did hear it.
Said it and meant it.
Damn it. But yeah, just this whole little exchange where she's like, oh, I think something was, you know, going on. And he's like, you know, he starts being like, oh, like, well, what do you mean? Like, what is it? Well, I want to help. Well, maybe, you know, maybe we should just sit back and, well, no, I want to help. If there's help to do, I want, I mean, Harry can't do it all. Like, we're his friends. And she's like, okay, I'm not saying we can't help, but maybe we have to accept that this could be, like, bigger than us. Like,
she is definitely the voice of reason.
Right? Like, it's just this whole where you're like, Billy is good, and he is a good guy with a good head on his shoulders, but again, there is, like, you see,
he's still a bit of an excited puppy.
He's still got a little bit of that excited puppy, right? Like, a little bit where they're coming more to a peer level, but still where exactly, there's still that little bit of, like, hero worship or idolization or whatever, right? Well, yeah, Harry knows everything, but I mean, come on, he might also need help. And, you know, just because he says he doesn't, well, he might not know that.
There's a good solid string here, though, of constant support from both of them that it doesn't feel like an attack. It does feel
that
very
too.
Friendly. Like, no, I don't think he's the one who committed that murder, but I think he was involved and he's hurt by it. He's taking responsibility for it. That we've had in cases before this where Michael, Murphy, whoever, have been a little bit more on the, like, what did you do, Harry? Just tell us. Like, we know you did something, but
yeah.
George and Billy are a lot more like, no, 100%, we're on Harry's side, we're just worried, even without Harry being there.
He gets more of the benefit of the doubt.
Totally, yes.
Yes, so. yeah, and exactly, right? Where she's like, yeah, all this weird shit, and yeah, Billy will, like, you think he did it? It's like, no, dumbass. Like, of course I don't think that, but I think, like, exactly right.
They're very loyal.
He was probably working a case that was involved, and was like, okay, yeah, like, whew. But yeah, exactly right. It does all come from very much a place of, like, love and support, and exactly right. So even when he's, yeah, having his little sort of freak up, I'm like, what? And George is like, dude.
They
so,
do say,
yeah.
Now, okay, unlike Georgia, I'm not a psych major or anything, okay? And also, yes, I'm willing to admit, sometimes authors just use a word and you're not supposed to psychoanalyze it and pick it apart and stuff. In this moment here, when they're talking about whether or not Harry feels responsible for the death or whether he committed it or if that's a thing that's whatever, that whole conversation, Harry's thought process there, he says, I swallowed and tried not to think of a pretty dark-haired woman bleeding to death while the hold of her boat slowly filled with water. She'd made enough bad choices to get herself into trouble, but I hadn't been able to protect her from the creature that had taken her life. That seems like, creature just seems like a weird word to use when specifically the people you would be talking to, monster would be the more appropriate word. Like, it just seems to me like monster is straight up. Like, it should have been just called a monster.
Yeah, creature is very forgiving.
Right? And I'm like, well, you are part fallen now, too. Like, is that where some of that forgiveness is coming from? Like, it's not like you're trying to talk to another fallen. And you're like, let's not call it a fallen. Harry is talking to himself or the audience or justifying himself to Georgia and Billy in his mind. And he uses the word creature. Whereas to any of those people, you'd think the word monster would make the most sense. If he was talking to Nicodemus, you might use the word creature. Or if you were talking to even, you know.
This is when you said he's part fallen.
Harry is part fallen. He picked up the coin.
That was the point I was about to get. We haven't really officialized that yet.
We know he picked up the coin.
Yes.
That's it. I feel like that's enough.
I don't know. Do you ever have the impression that he's like part fallen already from just having picked it up? Or
Not maybe part fallen, but definitely under demon influence, especially because of the hellfire that keeps coming out through his magic.
Okay.
So I know he's certainly, or at least I think he's certainly...
Okay,
that was heavily affected by the
okay, it's just the way you said part fall just makes it sound more like a
influence.
Like you're giving a bigger commitment to that. Yeah, and that's all I was not quite. That's what was throwing me.
But it's a nice little, I think it might be a good foreshadowing or like the change of language. Because we do know that Butcher does change tenses, especially when he was referring to monsters. In the past has gone.
He, she, it, they.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's my wonder because I picked that up my very first reread of this a couple weeks ago. It wasn't like my fifth or sixth or seventh time going through this book in a short period. This was the first time I'd read this book in probably since my last reread in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, creature? Not a creature. That's fully a monster. I was like, even using the word creature for like alphas is somewhat more like, you know, your friends that are supernatural are creatures. Your enemies that are enemies, they're monsters. I don't know.
Toot is a creature.
Yeah, like... I know it could totally just be Jim Butcher just using another word.
Yeah.
I just feel like an evil thing that you fought that isn't human and has monster parts can definitely be called a monster.
I guess. And I see what you're saying, but again, it's one of those things that, no, to me, yes, we can use it in a very sort of, you know, night before Christmas, not a creature was stirring. You're like, oh, little mice and sugar plum fairies and stuff like that, right? But... again, having listened to a lot of, like, bedtime...
The prose needed for poetry is different, okay? When you need to fit a certain number of beats into a line, you're going to use whatever synonym you've got.
Okay, that was just the first thing that came to mind. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I'll do the same thing, you know, talk about the pets or something, be like, you dumb creature or something, you know, but... like the whole bedtime story thing or whatever, right? Where again, they talk a lot about creatures on there and they're talking about this, like the...
my little creature.
No, see, I don't think like that. No, they...
Did you say Winnebagos?
Yes, the Windingos or whatever.
Windigos?
Yeah, those things.
Like,
we've had this discussion
before. Now I just see a motorhome.
But the Mothman and Bigfoot.
Cryptids.
And, yes, cryptids, exactly. You know, I think people refer to them as... and those are monstery enough to me, but they're still like, you know, the creature from the Black Lagoon. I'm like, to me, that wasn't like... Toot-toot, I wouldn't refer to as a creature per se.
But I feel like that makes my point. People stand around saying, I want to marry the Mothman. They can use the word creature. When people are like, I'm afraid of Mothman, they use the word monster. People do want to marry cryptids in a joking way or a real way, people on the internet are being like, I love Slender Man, like what a beautiful creature. Yeah, they're not trying to demonize him as a monster
yes, you can say that, or a beautiful creature, stuff like that. But yes, I was just saying to me personally, yes, that it's interesting because no, I don't necessarily see it as just a lighter use of the term, except when it's being used, as in like exactly like, oh, you beautiful creature, you or something.
I feel
that, or what a magnificent creature when you're looking at a tiger.
I feel,
but I also very much equate creature to monster.
The only person qualified for the difference would maybe be Hogwarts professor, teacher of creatures, of magical creatures, Hagrid.
Dear Hagrid.
Which would you say is accurate?
So yes, yeah, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just this, that you take it. And I just say, yes, it's funny that I don't. I never picked up on that word in that phrasing in that moment.
You saw Voldemort.
I do think, from my own opinion, that creature is a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah.
Like, and not, it doesn't evoke the same, like you were saying, about that word, that monster.
Yeah.
Or horror.
I don't know. Maybe Harry's just trying to soften his own mind, right? He's not there. At the time, he was like, fucking monster came in. And now he's just like... you know, again, trying to blunt those edges with time and distance that, you know, just like poor Francesca, she made a lot of bad choices, but she didn't deserve to get knifed by that creature.
Knifed is a really forgiving word for what happened.
Shredded like corned beef. I don't know.
Gross.
Well, So, yes. So,
anyways, I it was just a weird term that pointed for me.
So while they're sitting there contemplating and
discussing this matter.
Yeah, Billy's like, well, I don't know. He's like, you're the sick grad. What do you think? And Harry decides to make his subtle but dramatic entrance. Mm-hmm. Yes, Georgia. What do you think? Fade to commercial break.
Nope, actually, no.
But if it was a show, that would be where the person suddenly walks in on their, you know, oh my God, somebody was standing on the other side of the door, and they go, oh, yeah.
And they're holding a gun.
Harry, is that your staff in your hand?
I really actually do enjoy how this plays out. It's so good. It's not the, oh, now we've got this unnecessary drama. If everyone had just explained themselves.
You know what? You're right. It's just been going on. You guys want to talk?
It's handled very maturely. It totally. Is nice. And it's really nice.
What's crazy is that Harry decides, yeah, actually, I should talk. They're like, Harry, friends rely on their friends. They don't keep it all to themselves. They would vent. They would share these problems. They would
friends
get help.
Friends don't let friends do spells traumatized. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And Harry decides that he agrees. And actually tells him the legit truth.
We don't have a 10-hour conversation in his head about whether he could or should or would.
But before we get too far, there's a point in here that I just wanted to like bring up. Just
sure.
It's a little bit of an aside, but I thought it was interesting that Georgia asked Billy if he was close enough to get a scent from the wizards, and he admits that he couldn't pick up anything at all except for sulfur and brimstone.
Yeah.
And doing a little bit research on at least fire and brimstone is more of a biblical sort of a reference.
Yes, it is.
It's an expression referring to God's wrath, and it's found both in the Old and New Testaments. In the Bible, it often appears as reference to the fate of the unfaithful. Brimstone is an archaic term synonymous with sulfur. It evokes the acrid odor of sulfur. Well, it's also given off by lightning strikes, but that's beside the point.
But it is the
association with divine retribution common in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that was smited what was pointed out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to make that real quick point before we get too beyond.
I'm surprised that brimstone has that much of its own smell. That is the word that Billy used.
Yeah. Smells like sulfur and sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like that weird ozone.
Yes.
So yes, the fact that Harry doesn't even put it off and says like, well, at the end of this book, let's sit down and talk. He's like, no, right now. Yeah. Okay. Let's have the conversation
And even the way Georgia, right? Like Georgia's very straight up. She's like, it doesn't have to be us. Like, I'm not saying, oh, Harry, you know, she's like, I just genuinely think you need to talk about somebody. It doesn't have to be us, but you need to talk and somebody about something. Right. And just gives him the out there, too. Right. Like, yeah, I'm not saying like, oh, no, Harry, if you don't confide in us, you'll know. You know, she's like, I don't care. I'm not trying to know your shit. That's fine.
Yeah, and it's not forceful. You know? Like it is.
If
there's fewer concern,
if there's somebody better qualified or somebody you feel more comfortable or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Right. And yeah. And Harry's just like, yeah, you know what? No, let's do this.
You're my friends.
And he doesn't even take a big long build up to get right to it and stuff like that. Like he literally jumps in, you know, and gives a couple of minutes to drink some beer, and then he's like, okay, so a couple of years ago there was like this demon and I touched it. And this is one of my favorite parts too in the whole thing, right? Because she's all like, oh my God, what did you do? And he's like, yeah, there was this coin and then there was this kid, so I just didn't even think, I just, you know. And he says here, right, she's like, well, you know what, yeah, it was a bad situation, you just reacted quickly, like of course you had to, right? You know, part of me probably wanted this power or whatever, right? And she's like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, why didn't I pick up the kid instead of the coin? And I'm like, yes, 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 yes. Because I remember when it fucking happened, that was the same. Like, pick up Harry! Like, what are you, right? And I'm just like, oh, I feel so validated. Thank you, Jupiter, for coming back. And you pointing that out to you, that being like, yeah, yeah, no, that was a moment. That was the thing.
But what a poignant moment, too,
what
for Harry to be able to admit to that
just
as well.
Be like, yeah, but if I didn't, then how come I didn't do that? Mm-hmm. So maybe there was some temptation work in there, maybe. Maybe, like, hey, I had to do it. I was acting fast.
We said it multiple times throughout the series, and we said it back then, too, that the way the Butcher wrote it, it didn't seem cheap. It did seem like, in the moment,
holy shit,
slap your hand, grab this. But yeah, looking back on it, there was a lot of in-the-moment quick reactions you could have gone for.
And absolutely, right? Having been somebody there, I mean, I remember at one point doing like a first aid course, and we were doing parts of it. So we had somebody being, you know, the victim lying there on the floor, and we just broke it up into stages. So somebody did the first part of like checking their airway, and then they pass it off to the next person who had to, you know, do this. And then somebody went and got the AED, and then the next, right? So it was all, and I just remember the person that got there, that was her thing. She went, she got like the AED, and she comes running back with it and basically just like slings it into like the face of the next person and like takes off running. I was like, okay, yeah, we're trying to do this. Like, because I think we were competing sort of in like two teams. There was two groups of us going. So it was like, okay, yeah, we're kind of doing it on like a time thing, and you know, but I mean, but it was just, again, that was her, like, I know this was a simulation, you know, there wasn't actually anything. And yeah, her still panicked, like, be quick, which she literally took like this plastic box and basically, you know, just about injured somebody trying to save the life of, you know, it was all like, ah, here, you know. So I'm like, yeah, we all do afterwards. You're like, you know, you didn't have to freak out that much, you could have just handed it to him, right?
Who was it, Mandy?
Love you, Mandy.
That's it.
Okay, this was at your adult first aid course. I thought you meant Cubs with the children.
No. This was during skills training. Yeah, awesome. This was like,
rearrange the mental image.
10 years ago. Oy vey.
Yeah.
23. But anyways, yes. So yeah,
old enough to definitely know better.
Yes. Not a 9-year-old being like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I get, right, there is that in the moment. But again, I know specifically for my purpose as the reader, being able to, like, yes, you're panicked as you're reading it, but also as soon as it happens, you can take that, right? Like, I did know, right? I'm like, I do sort of, like you say, did not feel cheap in the moment, did not feel like, what, right? I'm like, I get. But just, again, knowing what had been going on this entire book. And like I say, that was one of the books that shook me the hardest the first time I read it and everything like that, right? And I'm like, you know? So yeah, I love now hear that a couple of that. Now we're revisiting, now that we're looking at that situation, and yeah, he's like, I could have just picked up the kid instead. And I'm like, okay, I guess you're right.
I think it makes for a way more better fleshed out character because it shows that he has self-doubt. It also shows that he's self-aware.
Yeah, exactly. And that he is. And so we also get the big reveal that, you know, this is, again, well, sort of the big reveal. He did mention it before, but now after a couple of years of healing and whatever, the rest of his hand is still super mangled, peels it off, and he's still got, like, this perfect section with the sigil on it, you know? And so, yeah, so...
And he mentions that the brimstone that Billy smelled was called Hellfire.
Yeah.
That's what I was using. Yeah, straight from hell. You're right. It's very biblical. It is.
Yeah.
You know, like...
As a matter of fact, yeah, all that fire and brimstone shit was, yeah. And they're like, okay, well, why are you using... And he's like, I'm not... He's like, that's the thing. He's like, it's not a conscious choice. He's like, I'm not trying to use it. It just seems to show up in it now, right? So... I don't know what to do with that either, right? Like,
same with that. We've had these unconscious moments of using his hand. When he's not thinking too hard about it, he seems to be able to get some movement out of it, right? And
yeah, apparently as he was sleeping in the car or whatever, he just about, you know, they're like, I thought he was going to snap his staff in half. He was gripping it so hard. And Harry's like, this is while he's still listening at the door. And he's like, yeah, I tried to move it. And he's like, maybe it twitched a little, right? So he's like, conscious effort. He can't. But in the car, he was like... had literally like a death grip on this thing, you know, and immediately George is like, oh, Billy's like, what? And she's like, it's like a demon mark. Like you've been like branded, right? And he's like, oh, and Harry's like, yeah, essentially, right? So what does this mean, right? And again, he goes through the thing. He's like,
he goes through everything he did.
I locked this shit down tight. Like the second it happened, I was like, fuck no. And I went home and did everything I possibly could and thought I was cut off. And then all of a sudden I noticed that this hellfire thing started popping up. So he's like, even since just concreting this thing away, I've now been looking up spells and rituals and trying like anything and everything I can come across, possibly imagine exists out there. None of that seems to be doing anything to cut it off anymore. So what the fuck?
Leads to the further thing is that if he's not been able to cut it off and it is in his mind, he can't trust himself around anyone.
So if it is influencing, I won't know. Him, I might not even know that it's.
I wouldn't even know.
Me.
Maybe I'm butchering these rituals or spells or whatever.
Yeah.
He's got the right last name for the kind of things he writes. But
right.
So yes, this is his big issue: is that at the most or least, I can cut myself off from everybody I know and love, and hopefully not put them in the line of fire if I am running around doing shady shit with or without knowing it.
His honesty and vulnerability in this moment is just so astounding.
It's amazingly mature compared to what we've had in the past.
It is, and I mean, and granted, Harry has tried before in the past. It's not like he's, you know, I mean, I think he's had moments of trying to be self-aware. But yeah, we're growing, we're learning again, as any. normal person does, you know, as, right, we all think that, right? You get to 18 and whatever, and you're like, I know all this shit. I know how the world works. Like, yeah, I'm not stupid, right? But every consecutive year you continue living, right? You go, oh, yeah, I've got different life experiences from when I was 20. Oh, 25 is different from 20. Oh, 30 is different from 25. Oh, 40 is different.
You don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know, right?
I take a particularly convoluted way to get here. And each and every single time on the way here to record this podcast, I remember just how fucking complicated I thought that whole mesh at Chinook was. And now I drive it in multiple directions every single day. And I was literally thinking on the way here, I was like, I remember being a kid and thinking this was the most complicated shit in the world.
Right.
And looking back on it now, it's like ABC, 1, 2, 3. You just drive on it, okay? It all makes sense. You read the signs and you do what you got to do. But I was like, I still remember being a little kid watching those little fish under the underpass and being like, yeah, how does anyone get around this thing?
So many roads coming and going and splitting and crossing and underpass and overpass. And yeah, exactly, right? Like, and like even that, like I say, we just moved a friend Friday or whatever, and again, first time ever being to this place was not a neighborhood I am intimately familiar with. I have been in around that area for a long time, but yeah, no idea where the right. So again, just finally, you know, she's like, oh yeah, just turn here and go there, right? And again, it seemed like you're, you know, up this street and down that and double back through this way and across this way, and you come up and then around and inside that block, and then you're across from a retaining wall, so it's the only way you can get to it, because they're, you know. And I'm like, I know after like the third time I've been there, it's gonna be like, oh yeah, no problem, right? You know, but just again, that first time going in blind, having no idea of anything, you know, and it just seems like, yeah, you're just going in and around and up and down and
well,
back.
I've said
and
it before, like
it's gonna take me forever to learn how to get here, you know. It's not just like up this road and turn left, right? But you're like,
your city feels like it's that like fog of war map where you can't see it until you've been to
it.
It starts, and then once you've revealed it all, you're like, wait, these three things were next to each other? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Very much. I always have that same very.
Yeah. So anyways, point is that it's nice to see Harry. And again, also, yes, he has maybe tried in the past before. But to A, have people that are now in the know that you can have these conversations with. And they're, I mean, like we've said before, you can't go and complain to all the people you're protecting that you don't know how to protect them.
Yeah.
Right? But to have someone who's a little bit closer on your level and you can say, listen, you're not as reliant on me anymore, so I can have these grown-up conversations with you and be like, things are hard and I don't know what to do and I fucked up here, here, and here. And also, be mature enough to say those things.
Yeah, and actually get to the point of what you're, but, you know, like, I like even here where she's like, well, Harry, I'm just a student. He's like, I don't need a psychiatrist. I just need to, just brings me back to that conversation we had. We were like, yes, Harry, you do need it. I don't know where you go. So, you know, okay, so maybe Georgia can be here.
Georgia would be all right. She would go insane.
Okay, see, this is the thing. An actual chronological order, you know, Billy and Georgia are not that much younger than Harry. But again, you know, experiences, whatever. But this is where it's even different again from like Murphy, right? So it's like, oh, okay, Murphy's like, you know, a little bit older than you. Murphy's grown up, had a life. She's an adult. She does a cop job, which is very right. She's got a whole other side of maturity and whatever, right? But this is the thing is that, again, Murphy's an outsider to the, right? No matter how much she knows, she's not wizard. She's not changeling. She's not, you know what I mean? Like, she's pure 100% and is...
She's only in this through Harry.
Only in this through, and very limited in whatever magical doohickey-majiggy he can set her up with kind of a thing, right? Whereas, again, Billy and Georgia have another step, right? And exactly, we're talking like 5 years into this of them being ensconced in this, right? So while they may only have this one particular, right, they've been going up against ghouls and vampires and, right, they've seen sort of perhaps like a broader spectrum in not such a curtained way as even Murphy and the cops are still experiencing. And exactly, now that they know exactly, they know about Box, they know which is the real books and which are the fairy tales and stuff like that, right?
And besides Box, just other lower level friends in the supernatural that they can make, right?
Yeah, but that's what I mean, right? It's like they know now what the real deals as opposed to the, you know, not so and stuff like that, right? So it's like, yeah, they know about spell books. And
but I mean, Murphy can't go to like Max and be friends with them, okay? She's only got Harry and at the moment Kincaid in Hawaii, but for the most part, you know, she can't go and make her own contacts.
Well, yeah, I was going to say yeah now, but you're right. Initially, yes. Murphy now is, I would say, yeah, she can go to Max, but you're right. She never really would have been drawn to that or would have sort of been pushed away for, repelled from that environment, you know, if Harry hadn't brought her into it exactly, that, yeah, Leo sort of in the know, sort of find out about it in that sense that you're right, yeah. So exactly, right? So I think that's where, yeah, he's got the benefit here, too, of them, like you say, not being quite as dependent and just having that little bit more full submersion in it from a different way than, you know, he just could get with or from or for Murphy.
Almost like a move between being more of the outsider into the actual man.
Yeah, exactly, right. So. Like you say, as we know, as much as Murphy is involved and is not a quote-unquote outsider, but through... you know, physiology,
growing.
Whatever, right? You know, like you say, right? It's, yeah, they're just...
It's a different relationship with Murphy for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And Billy and Georgia provide a brand new aspect of friendship that Harry's not been much a part of
exposed
before.
To, exposed to, or willing to take on.
Or, one or the other, or the other, you know? And also, in a lot of ways, they're also the closest to him as young people without much responsibility other than the supernatural community. Like, Michael has a wife and children.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right. He has a real job.
Murphy has a legitimate, like, real laws that keep her, you know, she has to uphold the laws first.
Yeah.
And we see her break.
Murphy's a homeowner. She has to pay taxes. She actually is the one upholding those laws that exist in her world. Yeah.
Right. And then Thomas, obviously, the whole vampire thing is a little bit of its own. That whole new ballgate. People can't know we're friends.
He's rich and he's supernatural. None of that in any way relates to Harry, you know? Like, either way, you are just a whole other world removed.
But even to the point that Thomas is now dependent on Harry, too, to go and get work and pay the bills, because otherwise you're both fucked.
I guess, yeah.
But, yes, yeah, so they are uniquely similar for this sort of exchange. And obviously, we also mentioned in the last book and such, why is Harry getting a girl who should be the target of these spells, and maybe a boy would have been a better option in the last book when we were doing the whole targeting of women in the area, and he asked for a woman to go and help him. We mentioned that, right?
Yes, sorry, yeah.
He is purposely avoiding Michael because of the whole fallen situation. Now we know why Michael has been gone for a little while and will continue to be gone for a little while.
Reason why Michael, no cameos.
Not only does Michael have his own shit to do, but Harry is purposely trying to stay away from him.
Yeah, it's not just that it hasn't happened. And it's like, again, right, it's just between this brand, I'm like, okay, fine, you've got it covered up because it just conveniently happens to be on your burned, mangled hand, so no one's going to see it anyways, right? But just this back and forth between, like, he's like, I can't necessarily tell if I'm being influenced because if it's in me and influencing me, right? But at the same time, he's like, but I can't go around Michael because he would be able to tell. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, so he could totally, I can't detect shit, but he might be able to detect shit. And that would be, I mean, again, whether some of that plays.
Harry's fear is that God is going to say, kill him now.
If some of that specifically delved into, yes, the default, right? But exactly, right? You're like, well, yeah, like how many, is it just a case of the knights and the fallen? So there's that link. Or exactly, I'm like, okay, fine. Billy and Georgia, because they're, like you say, just this one spell wonder. They know how to do a werewolf and that's it. So they know all about the supernatural. But like you say, they are not as, you know, could another wizard or some other type of being, you know,
well,
sense that on
him. He says, I'm pretty sure the council, there are spells to detect this.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm
okay, but they might
they
have
try to.
Okay, yes. But I mean, the difference between just like, oh my God, you stink of, and like, let me do, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah. I can do a blood test and find out you have a disease, but if I never know to test for that disease, I'm never going to find out.
Right. So Michael could just walk around, and if Harry never does anything shady, then he could be good. But if God immediately is like, ding, 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 ding,
this
guy's blacking out in the middle of the night and doing shady shit.
Well, yeah, and if it absolutely came to that. But just between the not wanting to bring anything else down on Michael and not potentially having to give Michael cause to be an enemy and, oy vey.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's got a
Harry
lot.
Harry basically lets him know he's afraid.
He does. And straight up for once. Yeah, I'm scared.
And honestly, good for you for talking to your friends, Harry. It's about time. No man is an island.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or is he?
Wow! Tanzan knowing something about the future?
What?
I couldn't help it.
But I just love, right, where George is like, and in typical just, you know, friend fashion, right? It's just like, oh, don't be so hard on yourself, you know, and this is where he's like, really? Because if I didn't want to, why didn't I do this? And just like, oh, fuck, man.
So then kind of a funny moment to cap it all off at the end is they're like, so this is what all of tonight's been about? And he's like, no, it's a whole new problem that I actually can't tell you about.
Oh, that is like the best thing ever. I love it, right? Where he's like, who are those people? Harry's like, I can't tell you. And Billy's like, can you like put us in danger? And like, he's like, no, I just don't know who the fuck they are. And I was like, thank you.
No idea.
Yeah, I was like, no, I just don't know.
And then he's like, no, I am protecting someone else, not you. Don't be so self-absorbed. God.
For once. But yeah, but then they're like, okay, so what is going on? He's like, yeah, I don't even know.
I'm like 6 hours into this, guys. Give me a minute.
Yeah, yeah. So you're still just going to have to trust me for a bit, but I got to get gone again and again, right? Not
great. Thanks for the nap. Thanks for the beer. Take me back to my car.
Yeah, yeah. Can I just bum some more food off you and then chauffeur me back, would you?
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 10. Georgia and Billy lend Harry her SUV after driving him back to his newly abused Blue Beetle. Harry calls in Mortimer and asks him for the assistance of the spirits to find the necromancers. Mort declines until he finds out that Murphy is involved. Mortimer calls upon the spirits and they find not only one necromancer, but six.
They do their little mental math and they're like, oh, he checks in with the other alphas. And he's like, yeah, it's mostly died down. There's like one or two people, you know, a cop still around. But Harry's like, okay, now it's best time to go before whatever, right? Most of it's cleared out and before anybody else decides to come along. And so they head back and they find his car and it's beat to shit.
Fortunately, the shotgun is still in the slightly contained boot.
Yeah, slightly contained is like, that's the thing that's so weird. We already spoke about this once already. Like, it's the easiest gun to steal in the world, and yet it's...
And somebody's clearly gone to the, you know,
well, and weird this, situation.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing. So he goes and sticks his car in and it's key in and it's... Which, actually, I just realized suddenly now, this is bullshit. He can't have just stuck his head through the window and turned the car on. He drives a manual. You have to put the clutch down, bitch.
You liar.
My car, I can lean in the window and just turn the key. Yeah.
Oh, I was about to say, you can technically change the gears while it's running, yes. But yeah, you
to turn it on, you have to depress the clutch when you turn the ignition. So unless Mr. Long Arms just casually stuck his hand down on the clutch while he leaned through the window and they just didn't put that in. But I had never, like, thought about that before, but... So yeah, so they're like, well, who beats up a car and, like, leaves it running? And Harry's like, someone leaving me a message. So obviously they weren't there to steal his shit or find out what he had. So that's why they're like, see, I left your gun. It runs. You just have no windows left. Which is like, well, at least they all match now.
Well, he would drive if there weren't windows. They've fucked it up a little more than that.
The wooden handle of a Louisville Slugger bat protruded from the gaping driver's side window. The cardboard tag still on. Is that
the tires get slashed.
I don't remember.
Part of the windshield was missing. The rest clung together in a massive tear. The back window had already been broken from fill. The doors and the hood were dented in a dozen places, and the door handles had been entirely smashed off. The tires sagged limply. Okay. So, yes, okay, I did forgotten that the tires were slashed and the door handles were ripped. I was like, yeah, whatever, it got...
Harry would drive the car still if it was just windows smashed out.
Yes and no, I mean, yeah, there's...
It's maybe more suspicious, but he's done it before.
Well, but I mean, I was going to say there's only so... I mean, yes, it's difficult to drive.
All the glass on the seat.
Yeah. Okay, fine, yes, yeah, the door handles and shit. So, yeah.
Right.
So, see, door handles aren't... He definitely didn't get in, but like I say, he was leaning through this window. I'm sorry. Wrong.
Weirdly violent, though. Who would do that?
Yeah, like, somebody trying to send me a message.
He says it wasn't done by magic, so it couldn't have been Cal or Kamori.
It wasn't done by magic. They have the bat. He's a Louisville Slugger baseball bat sticking out of the gaping driver's side window, complete with its tag. Like, this is a brand new bat they came, bought, smashed his car up, and left it there for him.
And most regular humans would have stolen his shit along with it.
Would have stolen his shit
didn't
along
do it.
With
it.
It was Bob.
Whatever, and wasn't like...
Bob's mad that he destroyed his store, so he's like, I'm beat up your car.
We don't know it's that Bob. Yet.
He's like, fuck this guy.
Yeah. Get off my property.
Scared my customers away today. Bah.
Which is a good thing he did, or they would all settle in the store when the smackdown went. So really, all Buck had...
But we know that Harry didn't park right by the store either. He had to walk down
because it was... Yeah. But I was going to say, all Buck has at this point, he's just got to replace one window. Surely that's not worth... But yeah.
It is an interesting question.
It is.
Who's following you around and that pissed off at you that is not already a major contender at the moment?
Yeah.
Is it Mavra? She saw you talking to the alphas and she's pissed off?
Well, right, because Billy's like, I don't know, was it the guys you were fighting with? Was it like the cloaked dudes? And he's like, they didn't really seem like baseball type. Like, again, right, it's like, we just had this big magic brawl. Why would they go buy a baseball bat and then come and beat up my car? You know?
Mavra doesn't seem like she'd do the same thing either. Like, she could do magic as well.
Right. And again, if it was just the bad neighborhood that they're in and the usual thing that like Billy and them, then again, you would think, sure, they might well vandalize the car, but they're probably going to rob the shit out of it. Yeah. You know, anything that they...
wouldn't be there.
I just didn't picture that joke where it's like the car gets stolen and they find it like 2 blocks later with a note on it that says, thanks, we'd rather walk. You know, like I just feel like Harry's one of those things that, yeah, the gangs would be like...
Did you check if your converter is still there?
They're like, we're not driving this piece of shit. We'll just beat the crap out of it and see if there's any useful, you know, see if there's any change in the... But it does pose the problem. And now, once again, Harry has to run around and do shit. And his car is unable to run around. He's like, great, now I gotta go rent a car. And George is just, you know, gives Billy a look, gives Harry a look, hands him her keys. No, I can't. And they're like, dude, we're like 2 blocks from home.
Why does Butcher keep doing that? Do you think it's just like a running gag? Like this poor car just has to be beat on? Because he basically always gives Harry a quick way out of it. He almost always gets like, okay, fine, I did just get paid, so I've got money for the taxi. Okay, sure, Georgia's got this minivan. I've instantly got a way around.
I think probably part of it is, like you say, I can definitely see like a running gag with the joke. Because like you see, it came in battered and I can't talk anymore. Battered and beat up and all these, so it just keeps happening. But I also think that even though it doesn't necessarily put him completely out, it still throws... small, right? Like it's more inconvenient and or it costs money to take a taxi than just hop in his car and go, right?
I think it's a consistency thing too,
we'll
though.
See with...
Breaks his spirit because it's his shit getting destroyed.
Well, there's that.
Well, the magic use because it is still somewhat susceptible to his magic.
So. Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like we've seen him borrow Mac's car heading out to Sells' house, I think it was, right?
Yeah, in the first book he had to take a taxi and then he took Mac's.
Yeah, and Mac's car started, right, because it had all the fancy electronics and it started going beep, beep, boop, 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 you know, when he got out there and stuff like that, and then like same thing, right? Like I think that's part of it is that you could use it, but it's all these like new fancy cars that always cause them some other kind of problem and setback or, you know, this or that. I can see that some ways I'm like, they're not completely putting him out of the game, but they're more inconvenient than just having his own wheels too, so like slows him up a little bit or whatever without
just doesn't seem as inconvenient. Like if he fully just didn't have a vehicle at all, then it'd be like, oh shit, now you're running around or you're like forced to take the Never Never to get around Chicago or you're... But it seems like...
God damn it, the 63 bus is late again.
It just seems very consistently he loses access to his car and everyone around him is like, here, take mine. Or, I've got a motorbike. I've got a limo. I've got a truck. I've got a this. I got a that.
I think that plus I...
Take my personal driver for the day. It's fine.
Again, also maybe a little bit of that friends when he always thinks he doesn't have friends and he has to do everything alone, but then his car always gets beat up and somebody's always like, here, take my bike. Here, take my car. Here, you know what I mean? Like maybe it's sort of some of that too. Like you're always trying to be on your own or think you're doing it on your own or that you have to be on your own. But then inevitably you always need your friends and they're always there for you.
It's a good after school special.
Right? That's Harry Dresden after school special. That's what I equate it to all the time.
It's okay because now all the windows match.
Even covered the birds and the bees. Yes.
Free air conditioning. Yes.
So even Harry says that. He's like, it's brand new. I'm going to blow it up. She's like, nah, it's still under warranty.
That's a crazy thing for me to say because like I have been well into the car problems lately, and I would not be able to say that, like, oh, it's still under warranty. I'm like, no, insurance will charge me 5 times as much. You're on your own.
There is that, but also yours was used when you bought it. You didn't buy it brand new to be under warranty, so that's different to you.
Okay, maybe, but still.
Yes, if your sound system had been, like, blown out by magic, so they couldn't say, oh, look it, you dismantled your entire sound system and put in a new one, you just voided your warranty, yeah.
That's when a magic bloody good warranty that they've got on that car.
You know what, though?
Because usually it's just, like, the drivetrain kind
of. We know her parents are super rich.
I was just going to say, yeah, they've established, right? It's a 6-car garage. Like, yeah, they're...
They've got good insurance.
They've got good insurance. They've got a good warranty. They've got a... Whatever's happening to this car, whether it is the sound system or the drivetrain, it's exactly... I love how, like, all of these things, you know, again, like, fictional stuff... Everybody's always got like that one really rich friend. I'm like, where is my one really rich friend that has a brand new SUV and like a 6-car garage where they're like, no problem, just come chill at my house for a while if you need, but you know, like, yeah, no problem, just borrow my car if you trash it. Don't
money
worry,
doesn't buy everything, but it does advance the plot. That's why our plots don't do anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Going real life.
Yeah, it's like the current series. It's like the one dude's like a billionaire. And it's just like, nice. Fuck you and all your like billionaire boyfriends and shit, you know? Like, I'd settle for somebody with just like a savings account, you know? Actually has money in the savings, you know? So they're like, dude, we're going to take it to the garage. See you later. He goes off to visit Morty. We haven't seen Morty since book 5, which isn't that long, but it's only our third.
And Mortimer has abandoned his shtick and has finally got his mojo back.
Yeah.
Seems to have been working enough on his craft.
Use it
responsibly.
Or
and yeah.
Yeah.
Gaining back some power, which kind of puts some hope that potentially some of these other low-level people that we have and will meet could maybe potentially grow.
Like Harry did? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is not such a one-trick, and you're done shop as it seems. A lot of metaphors in one, but I know you understood what I meant.
Yep. But yeah, I think I like it even more because it's not, because I mean, again, you can see it the other way because Harry has sort of leveled up as he's gone along. So I'm like, oh yeah, there's always, you know, room coming on the ground floor. But yeah, I like it even more where he was sort of at that. And then for whatever reason, like you say, depression circumstances, the world is too harsh, you know, he was losing it and he had all but lost it. And now he's got it back, right? Like that's the impressive thing is that either you don't, I mean, Harry sort of said you can't. I mean, again,
Mortimer, the comeback kid.
The comeback kid. I was going to say, I think different because he talks about sometimes, you know, losing it, like breaking promises. And I'm like, I guess that's different than just, but yeah. So, it, you know, whether you have to go far enough down and really give it up to not be able to, but even if you've sort of gone
many roots to the bottom.
Yeah, you can still climb back up and get back up there.
So. Sleepy Mortimer answers the door and he complains that it's 3 a.m. and then panics when he realizes it's Dresden.
Yeah, he's not even just bitching because he doesn't know who's at his door. He's still rubbing his eyes like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, fucking like. And once again, Harry did let him slam the door.
So Harry Jim Butcher. For help, but isn't this against the rules?
Yes, but isn't what against the rules?
Maverick's rules.
You're not allowed to get help from anybody yet. It seems like Harry's broken that already multiple times tonight, and he seems to
yeah,
very
this
much...
This is very much specifically
yeah,
like...
You help me do this. And part of me is wondering, because Maverick just must not know the way Harry works, because obviously being part of a private detective is basically running up multiple leads. This is just running up multiple leads. It's still his job as a private detective to do that. And partially Maverick's like, no, bitch, you're a wizard. Do your own shit. But as long as he doesn't let anyone know he's looking for the ward of Kemmler, then it's not letting them in on what he's doing, maybe?
Oh, a little bit of a loophole. I can't, yeah. Okay, I was
like, I just want to know about necromancers in Chicago. It has nothing to do with the ward of Kemmler.
I feel like that's more, like, don't try and get help to get out of this or to double-cross me or whatever, right? Because, yeah, you're right. She's like, I want this thing. Well, obviously, if Harry's not allowed to get help from anybody, then he's like, I don't know where it is. That's as much as I can help you. If I can't look up information, if I can't talk to people, if I can't, I'm not going to, right? So, yeah, I feel it's maybe not that you can't, but just, you can't get, exactly, you can't be like, oh, Marver's out to get me, do that, you know? Or be like, hey, how do I get out of this loophole with Mar, you know? Or, oh, help me by, you know, secret.
Basically,
Murphy,
she said to don't call the cops.
Yeah.
Don't call the council, bitch.
Yeah, so
or I'll knife you.
Yeah, basically, it's like, don't turn me in. Don't get help that.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah. Right? Exactly.
And this woman's basically just like a puppet doll, like at this point.
Dresden threatens to camp out on Mort's lawn until he complies, which he relents and finally lets Harry in. And Mort figures it's about the vampires, but Harry mentions that the most recent fight was in Mexico. It just made things quiet on that front, so no vampire activity.
Yeah, and this is the thing, right? Morty hasn't changed his stripes. He's still singing the same tune. He's like, I don't want to be around you. I don't want to get involved with you. I don't want people to think I'm involved in anything. Don't want to be on anybody's radar for anything at all.
Yes, I'm a coward. What are you going to do about it? I'm not changing or apologizing for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, the last time I talked to you, I ended up with, like, stitches. And that was, like, again, Mort trying to pick the most public place to not write. Mm-hmm. Let's go on TV with an excuse for being there.
Does Mortimer know that Ortega was there as a vampire?
You know what? They never spell. Yeah.
Because that'd be one thing. Like, that's totally not Harry's fault. If both a fallen came on dressed as a priest and a vampire came on dressed as, like, a magic denier. Like,
debunker, yeah.
And Mortimer's like, fuck you, Harry, every time. Which, to be fair, they were only there because Harry was there.
Harry, yeah.
But still,
they don't ever actually address that. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, conceivably, again, being that he has a hand in the or a foot in the supernatural world, that, yeah, he may, and especially now he obviously knows about the world. Maybe he found that out. But at the same time, it could also be that he's still completely oblivious to that, because unless, you know, he knew to ask or somebody specifically told him following up on that, yeah. Then yeah, there's also the possibility that he's like, no, he just blew up a studio when I was there. I don't know what the fuck.
I will say, though, pretty, pretty brave of Jim Butcher here to throw in a time.
Doot, doot.
Now I know it's 3 a.m. I'm paying attention, dude.
Uh-huh. So you're getting better. It's less and less. There's still not none.
There's a better lineup the next time you drop a time.
All right.
Mort wants to cut to the chase, and Harry asks him about the recent black magic happenings. Mort says the undead are nervous and afraid, but he won't say why.
No, he's like, fuck off. I'm not getting involved. No.
And Harry fills in the blanks for Mort and lets him know that necromancy and Kemmler's disciples are afoot.
And that rings a bell because he goes, oh, that guy? Or he's like his disciple. So again, somebody else that has heard of Kemmler. So again, interesting that Harry and all his magical wizard submersion, you know, that this was one of their guys that went bad and he doesn't know about it. And yet all these other people have, I mean, granted, yes, some of them specifically seeking out, right? But all of a sudden there's all these like little Kemmlerite disciples popping up. Morty's heard of this guy. Bob, you know what I mean? All of a sudden Harry's like, the fuck, everybody knows about this guy but me. Like some big baddie. But again, I'm like, it's just that internal cover up, you know, like nobody wanted to admit it was one of ours that went off. But yeah, like you say, right? All the other bad guys are like, dude.
Mortimer here is very fair, I think, when Harry's like, you're one of the strongest necromancers. Like, you have a duty here. And Mortimer's like, it's not offensive, okay? It's dangerous if I start going around being the smartest man in the room. People are going to come after me.
Yeah.
Yes, I know a lot, but what the fuck do you want me to do with it?
Yeah, in this case, this power does not give me power to defend myself or anything.
Right? You're not here, like, to protect me every day.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not a wizard. I can't get on the council. I don't have all of them to back me up, right? I'm not a you come at one of us, you come at all of us. He's like, I'm a one of us. Yeah. And I don't want to be. And, you know, and again, that's specifically, right, where Harry's like, dude, you're just gonna like run away and hide again? And he's like, yeah, I am what I am. You know this, I know this, I've never claimed to be anything different. But again, it's, I still have more respect for him, because the last time we saw him and he was pulling this shit, it was again just the, oh no, I'm a scaredy cat, coward, little, right? And you didn't have a, but now you're like, you know what?
Self-invested.
I'm like, you still sort of have that, but at the same time, seeing that you've cleaned up your act, seeing that you've, you know, toned down on, I'm like, yeah, you're still a little mystic bullshit, because that's what sells. You gotta, you know.
But in this case, he is actually more concerned about the ghosts.
But yeah, it's like you are seeing a more mature, calm, you know, like, I'm covering my butt. But also bit by bit, yeah, you discover there's a little bit more that he's like, no, I don't want to draw them
into
this.
He's got his reasons behind it. And
yeah, just because you're dead doesn't mean they can't suck you in, right? And I'm like, yeah, no shit, Harry. Your whole reason for starting this was what? What again? What are we dealing with this book? Necromancy. Wait, what does Mort deal with? Oh, all these dead people. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, Mort really makes a name for himself right here as, like, respectable.
Yeah.
No, I am on the side of the dead. They are the ones who are my friends. They are the ones who have backed me up this whole time. They're the ones that, since I was a kid, I've had to talk and reflect and know. And
they don't think I'm crazy. All these other motherfuckers think I'm some straight nut job talking to people that aren't there. But
those are my actual friends. And if I've got a responsibility to anyone, it's them.
Because who else can speak for them?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, exactly, right? Morty's like, Harry, you got wizards, you got wardens, you got all, right? This, that, and the other thing. You got alphas out there, right? Who's speaking for these guys? Exactly, right? The wizards are not all ectomancers or anything. Just because you can do these spells doesn't mean you can automatically have or choose to or whatever, right? So I'm like, yeah, it is. It's a damn fair point, you know? It's like, Morty doesn't.
Underlined by the fact that apparently Harry agrees, because when he can't get Mortimer to agree, he's basically ready to leave. He's not going to bully Mort into this. He's like, well, fuck, you've made some good points.
Yeah, he's like, you're taking a stand. And, you know, again, because, like, that's what Harry is, right? Harry's like, I draw that line in the sand whether anybody else agrees with me or not. But he's like, when I draw my line, that's my line, and you're not right. And he's respecting
if
that.
If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
Exactly.
Mortimer's making a stand, and Harry's like, understood and respected.
This is what I bitched about you for, like, 4 books ago. Yeah, exactly, right? When we first met him in, like, book 3, he's like, dude, come on, you're not, right? So yeah, now Mort is like, this is what you want in here. He's like, yeah. So he's like, so again, I like really well that it goes where he's like, I need it to help. Like, this isn't even just for me. I get that you're pissed off that you're right. Every time we bump into each other, shit doesn't go well for you. But like, dude, it's not for me. Like, I need to help a friend, but I can't tell you about all that, right? And then, yeah, so as he's like, Kate, thanks for nothing, Mort, which again is part of like, yeah, fuck you, but also a little bit of a, I get it, right? Like, yeah,
I didn't get my way. I'm going to pout a little bit, but yes, I respect your decision.
Exactly.
Well, versus the first time we saw him and Harry's just like forcing his way into the house and pushing him around and is like, fuck you and fuck your house. You're going to do what I want right now.
That still is a great scene. I love that he just manages to like sneak in behind him and just, again, that whole mystic, how the fuck did you get in here?
You seen that like mom and the toddler? The toddler's trying to push mom out of the room and then mom just gets in around him anyways?
No.
Oh, it's so fucking cute. It's so cute.
No, I have
you. I'll throw it up on our social media story on the Friday that this comes out. But like,
okay.
So cute.
But yeah, the kid's trying everything in there and then mom's just like 6 feet taller and can just step over them. Yeah. And it's like, bah!
Basically, the kid is just pushing the door closed or whatever like that, right? And he's got his face like pressed against the wood and then mom slips into the room and comes behind him and he finally like gets the door shut.
Right.
And then kid steps back all proud of himself. He turns around and mom's right there. He's like,
yes. That would be, yeah,
fantastic. Cute.
So yeah, so he's like, well, who are you trying to help? And he goes, ugh, it's Murphy. He's like, oh, why didn't you say so? I'm like, not even like,
right
a, oh, like, yeah, he's just like, instant. He's like, oh, well, if it's for Merv. And he's like, what? Yeah, okay, yeah, I don't know why, but okay. Yeah. So he's like, what? And he's like, oh, I knew her father. Well, I know her father.
Right.
Oh. Because, again, we've had very little, right? It's been mentioned. And you're like, oh. Because, yeah, daddy. Well, I guess we found out a lot of it last book when he met Mama Murphy.
Yes, he used to work for the Black Cat.
Yeah, we knew he was a cop that had killed himself or whatever. But yeah, now we found out there was more to than Jay. Yeah, he wasn't just some sad or washed up or something like, oh, gee, maybe this is either A, why he killed himself because he was dealing with all the spooky natural shit, or maybe, again, there's more to that story and that's not what it appears on the surface either.
Or was killed for what he knew.
Or, yeah, exactly, right? So all of a sudden, yeah, it's got that whole other level. So yeah, so
I only recently just watched all of Game of Thrones. And there was a moment, I don't even remember what it was, but, like, whatever, fucking Ned Stark has been dead for 5 seasons, so at this point, like, 10 years or whatever, right?
Great, now I can never watch it.
And then, yeah, I know it was on your bucket list. And at some point, one of his kids goes to do something or whatever like that, right? And everyone's like, okay, your father did this for me, so I'm going to do this for you. And I was like, what a fucking legacy that, like, a million years after you've done something for this person and you've been murdered and your kids are out being the fucking worst people on the planet, the people are still all willing to lay down everything for your kids because that's how fucking badass and awesome you were.
Right?
And it was like, who knows?
Legacy.
A total legacy. Absolutely yep. Amazing. And it happens so many times throughout the Game of Thrones. Everyone's always like, those fucking Starks, but your dad was one of a kind, so I'm gonna do it for you, right? And it happens over and over and over again. And his kids are a lot of shitheads in a lot of ways. And everyone still kept doing it. And they were like, you know what? For Ned Stark, I'll do this. And I find, you know, this moment was a little bit too. It's like, I do not want to get involved, but damn it, Karen Murphy's dad, fine, fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And for all we know, he's over Mort Schroeder right now, like, motherfucker, you do it right now. Gun to the head.
Right. But yeah, I think both that, you know, that, yeah, I think there's some kind of a relationship there. I feel like he knows Karen in some right in his own regard. But yeah, more so that he definitely obviously does know her dad and stuff like that. Right. And yeah, that's just, I get just another very cool sort
of moment.
Papa's
keeping eyeballs out for his daughter still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, not only do we know that Murphy's good shit, but it's like, yeah, your dad was. So yeah. So Harry's like, all right, shit's going down. We got necromancers in town. That means there's got to be black magic, cold spots. Let's, what can you tell us? Because they can go everywhere and anywhere and right, rather than me running around. So yeah, more he does his little nothing on the surface for everybody else to see. Like, apparently when Harry's doing magic, except when he starts zipping out sparks and things all the time. But yeah, goes and just all of a sudden, you know, picks up his little atomizer, sprays ink all over this map. And this, again, would be a super cool effect in a movie, you know.
Right, it would be.
Going there, hanging, and then specifically going into
the
patterns
of
blobs
and
vortex up. Yeah.
Vortices?
Vortices?
Mm-hmm.
Vortices? Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, the fact that Harry can, like, feel the room is filling with presences and presences and presences, and he's, like, getting claustrophobic with the amount of presences that are coming into this room. Ooh, that'd give me the chills.
Right? And it very does specifically, yeah.
That's a very neat moment. I liked it.
It is. It is very cool.
Different kind of magic. Good to see.
Yeah.
But other than the whole, like, fucking, like, blood splatter all over the table.
At least, you know, we do see him use just the little perfume atomizer. It's not like all of a sudden there's just, like, this spray of gore out of the nothingness that, like, falls on,
it's
you know.
It's a nice touch.
But it is. It's pretty cool.
We find on the map that it's marked the Forensic Institute, which we already know why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Field Museum. An apartment in a rough neighborhood. A cemetery. Underneath O'Hare in Undertown, an alley by Berman Park, and a sidewalk on Wacker.
Yeah. So I find this, I don't know if I would, I guess, I don't know how else you would have done it, but it's just funny where he's like, oh, it's darker at, you know, like my first assumption for why it's darker at O'Hare would be like something bigger, evilery, magicker happened.
Because it's trying to press below
And that's what, right, but that's what Morty says. He's like, oh, maybe it means under, right? And I'm like, okay, I guess.
Not what mine.
How else would, you've got to think of some way to convey this. And sure, Morty spells it out for us just in case. But yeah, it was just funny because I remember at first too, like that was not, I was thinking it was some bigger thing, you know, and then he's like, oh, no, wait, I think that means underneath. I'm like, oh, okay, sure.
Well, yeah, if I'm thinking.
In case him wandering around O'Hare for fucking, because obviously that place is huge, right?
If I'm thinking dark evil magic at O'Hare, I'm going to think like, oh shit, you've still got like 2 years worth of like torture lingering in
that
spot.
Too, right? Like I'm pretty sure that was part of what made me think, yeah, it's already a dark spot,
and
right?
Possibly that's what draws the necromancer to under below it as well. Maybe there's still darkness lingering, but
yeah, but it's like, oh no, you don't have to search the entire secured airport, you just have to get underneath it. Oh, okay, sure, great.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Ultimately they learn there are 6 necromancers altogether.
Makes sense, but I also am like, well, how do you know they're not not doing more than, you know.
Like, I know, only six spots still is like, okay, like, so this is where they are right now? So Gravain is still at the Field Institute?
No, I think that's just leaving the traces of, right? Like that.
Right, so then I wouldn't say there's six. I'd say there's one guy who's gone to six locations.
Or, okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah, sorry, I see what you're saying there. You were like, but yeah, exactly, right? Like, that was kind of a little bit my take. I'm like, yes, it could be, but yeah, how do you know that they're, right? I'm like, it could be three groups that have done it twice. It could be one guy that's done it six times. It could be, I mean, I guess.
Unless it's like, yeah, they're there right now doing shit.
Better safe than sorry, then yeah, I'd be like, okay, well, let's assume that each one. So yeah, better to have six and then find out there's only four. But yeah, I was kind of with you on that one. I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? Because, and like you say, I'm like, you can't even surmise that that's it because they're like, it's been how many hours since he was at the Forensic Institute, right? So you're like, not even like, oh yeah, maybe like his assumption is this is all happening right now. Really? Well, you know, that was hours ago. So you don't know when the fuck this shit happened.
Maybe he gave him a time frame, like Mortimer gave the ghosts a time frame, like in the last 6 hours.
That's why I would say, like, find them right now. Where are they right now? Or just find where all the dead people don't want to go. Like, what is it? And what did you say?
Yeah, well, that's it. He wanted to find out, I think, where these things have been worked, right? Where black magic has been. Yeah. But anyways.
He knew he couldn't convince them to actually go to the necromancers because they were sure shit not going to say yes.
Which, yeah, and it's fair, right? Like you say, I like that Harry respects even dead people have rights. And
could you imagine if you were like a necromancer and a ghost just tapped you on the shoulder and it's like, excuse me, sir, can I see your passport real quick?
What are you doing here?
Bitch.
Your permission. So now we're something ahead.
So
Morty's gotten us some good. Now we got places to check and people to look for.
It's something. Thank you. Hopefully. Thank you, Mort.
Six of them and one of him.
Ugh. This concludes our episode 13.9, Six Little Necromancers. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling, conjured by it at your own risk.